Welcome to the 12-Step Recovery Evolution podcast. Visit recoveryevolution.co.uk for more episodes, helpful resources and links to our social media. Also visit the site for information on how you can attend a future Zoom session or workshop live. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. Wanted to keep sort of labouring on fear, because I think the truth is even like saying to folks this morning, when you're kind of sponsoring people and you believe in this spiritual stuff and you're in this program and you learn what it's about, it's so easy to skip over the top of everything and then it become really superficial. Or we keep talking about the problem but never really understand the solution to it. And probably fear is probably, you know, I mean, there's probably argument that, you know, from fear comes all the other nasties in a human being, but I don't, that may be true, but I think to say that would help it do what it wants to do. And I think what it wants to do is it wants to hide and it doesn't want to be identified. And I think the important thing that about fear is that we do learn to identify it and we do learn to be rid of it. Because I don't think there's any real good reason for it. And I think it's one of the major causes of mental illness, of crime and murder and nastiness in our society, that it's unchecked fear. And so I've learned that certainly in myself, that fear has been a constant companion in my life. It's probably from a very young age. I mean, I can actually remember being 3 years old and being full of fear and being full of anxiety. And even my mother talks about going to my father and saying, I think there's something wrong with him. He needs to get some therapy. But then that was kind of sort of not very well accepted. And so that didn't happen. But so fear and anxiety have been a constant companion of mine in my life. And it manifests like it says. It says, notice, again, looking at page 67, because, again, I want to try and keep it to the big book, and I'm trying not to be too sort of clever. My goal here is to actually help you identify what fear is in your life, because, you know, I think we're accepting a lot of things that we could be changing. And so the goal of doing this is to try and get you guys to be able to identify it. And that's what a good, solid program and good recovery and good support and good fellowship should also be helping you identify where fear is manifesting itself in you, because it's doing damage. And so on page 67, it says, and sorry, I just want to say that because, again, it's kind of like took me years and years and years to identify these fears that I could have been free from a lot earlier. The people say you might get all super spiritual and go, you know, when the student's ready, the master appears and things like that. Or maybe you just weren't ready, or maybe you couldn't hear it. And maybe there's some truth to that. But I also know that this is not widely understood and not widely accepted, because I've been to, like, you know, over the years, I've been to quite a few thousand meetings. And when I'm listening to what people are sharing, they may be sharing a lot about the symptoms of fear, but they're not always sharing a complete understanding of how to resolve it, how to overcome it. And if you don't know how to overcome it, you're going to have to learn to live with it. Now, I don't want to live. I've been living with it all my life. I want to overcome it. So if I have to accept it and you can't get rid of it, then I will accept it. But if I can overcome it, I want to know how. And this is telling me about that. So we're going to try and stick to that. But remember, the goal is, and at the end of today's session, Fox is going to explain how you can download a worksheet that we put together. And hopefully tonight you can spend a bit of time filling out the worksheet. And tomorrow we can do a little bit more of an interactive group. because just want to see if that you guys are starting to understand how to identify the fear, to see what damage is causing your life, and then what you're going to need to do to overcome it. Because mostly there's not a button you can push. Mostly there's a bit of a process that's got to be worked through, because, and the reason for that is, we'll make clear in a minute, it says notice the word, this is page bottom of page 67, it says notice the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mr. Jones, the employer, the wife. So what that little sentence is saying there is that when you look at your when you look at your step four, you're going to notice that fear is going to be a part of all of it. Fear is going to be attached to all of it. So it says this short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It is an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence is shot through with it. Now, again, I know I'm kind of going over what I said yesterday, but I want to get this as deep into you guys as we possibly can. The damage that that fear does in humans, and we're shot through with it, is unequaled. If we can start to understand how fear manifests itself in my life, and I can remove it, then I'm going to have a very different experience. Now, for these reasons, it says it's an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence is shot through with it. So it's actually the ability to be afraid has formed itself in us. It's actually formed in us. Now, again, I want to just read some of the other words of fear that I looked up this morning. And again, you can add to this list, but these are some of the names of fear. Now, it's all the same thing, but we in English, and I'm sure in other countries, I know in Germany they call it angst, but you know, in other languages, I'm sure there's just as many names for fear. So it comes in many names, and some of them names are used to minimalize it, but that allows it to exist. But then when we actually measure the harm that it's doing, it can be quite great, because if it's formed in us, and then we're allowing our mind to use that fear to then inform us of what's going on in the outside world, and we're looking through fear as a way of informing us of what's going on in the outside reality, then you can see that it's going to become a very strong part of your decision-making process. And if you're making decisions based on fear, because it's formed in you from some childhood experience, but doesn't actually match the reality that's actually going on in this moment, in this time, in this situation, as an adult, then I'm probably not going to make good decisions, and then I'm going to miss the fortune and the richness of other experiences in my life, and then I probably am going to feel angry, and I am going to feel pissed off, and I am going to feel hurt, and I am going to hate myself, and I'm going to hate you, and I'm going to hate everybody, and it ain't worth living, and I'm sick of this shit. And it can go on like that. So this is a very real thing that probably is in all of us. So the more we learn about it, and the more we become to understand it, then hopefully the more we can get it out of my life. And I want to be better informed. Look, if a lion's jumping out of me, then look, I need fear. You know, fear is a weapon. I think fear is a weapon. I even wrote down a definition of a weapon, but, you know, it's a thing designed or used to inflict harm. If I use fear on myself, I'm inflicting harm. It's also a means of defending myself. And I'm often defending myself when I don't need to be defending myself, because I've got fear of people, and then I drive them away. And for me, I developed a lot of social anxieties in my life. So when I feel uncomfortable in social situations, I start swearing. I start getting aggressive. I start getting intimidating. And you can imagine how that has an effect on my relationships. But it's also a deterrent. A weapon is a way of causing harm to others. It's a way of defending myself, but it also can be used as a deterrent. So fear is like a weapon that has been formed, and I'm using it against me, and I'm using it against you. So we kind of want to disarm that weapon. Now, again, if a lion's jumping out in you, then the fear is a good weapon. If somebody's attacking you, fear is a good weapon. But it's gone beyond its intended purpose, and it's actually one of the emotions that's used most against us to drive us insane, to make us unhappy, to make us angry, to make us suicidal, to make us violent, to make us steal. It's an emotion that gets used to cause so much damage in our lives. So I can't really overemphasize what a bad feeling it is and how important it is for us to identify it, to disarm it, and to overcome it. And so this is what we're really dealing with. So some of the other names of fear are anxiety, concern, despair, dismay, doubt, dread, panic, scared, suspicion, unease, worry, agitation, distress, phobias, nervousness, jumpy, timid, shy, withdrawn, faint-hearted, terror, flinching, nervous, apprehension, insecurities, jealousy, tension, stress, surprise, lack of confidence. Now, you know, we could go on and on and on and on naming fears. And if we've got any of them fears, we're being robbed. It's saying that it's been formed in us. Now, look, I'm a believer. I really not understand the science. I just can go on my experience, a little bit that I've learned and what makes sense to me. But I believe that, you know, as soon as you become conscious in your mother's womb, as soon as your senses begin to develop, if your mother's full of anxiety, then your senses are going to start to become accustomed to anxiety. It's going to start forming your senses. Now, you might, obviously, you're not going to know what anxiety is, but you're going to feel it. And when you're born, if your mother's full of anxiety, you're going to feel it. And you're going to begin to form it. It transfers. See, especially when we're like very young, that our senses are out going into our environment. And our senses are our emotions and our feelings and our thoughts. They're going out into the environment and they're connecting to the environment. And they're starting to sense it. They're starting to feel it. And if they're feeling that horrible feeling of anxiety and they start making that connection, and then they actually start understanding that's not a good feeling. And then that starts to get transferred into you. And then if you've got a fearful mother or a fearful father and they're all jumpy or panicky or worrying, and if they're all scared of spiders and every time they see a spider, they scream and run off, there's a good chance that's going to start forming in you. And it goes deeper than that, as we've talked about in the emotions. That some of these emotions are just a bit invisible to us. We just don't understand them, but we are feeling them. But I don't know what it is I'm feeling. I'm just not comfortable with it. And then it shows me that then when I've become formed in that way, then emotions start informing me. So when I become formed in that way from my environment, then emotions start informing me. And then when I go, when I've been in a situation where I've been taught that it's frightening and I can't cope and I can't feel it, and that's been formed in me, when I get introduced to that situation, then I start getting informed by them emotions, and then I start feeling the anxiety, I start feeling the fear, and then I start having to build a weapon to defend myself in them situations. And again, you can see how complicated explaining it can get, because, but just want to stick at this beginning, that most of the things that, that you're feeling is because you, it's formed in you. And it's formed in you over years. So that meditation, that constant worrying, that constant, is actually, it's forming neural nets, it's forming pathways in you. And then when you get certain ideas, your thoughts give permission to your hypothalamus, which is releases, it sends a message to your hypothalamus. Your hypothalamus then will release the peptides that them thoughts are designed to release. So if a lion jumps out on you and you say, oh, got to get away from this lion, and then it's going to fire adrenaline into your body, it's going to give you a high, a quickened response, and then you're going to run. And that's what it's kind of designed for. Or you're going to fight. But see, when that process is happening, and none of that's happening on the outside, you're in this constant state of anxiety, because your mind is stayed in this place where your fight and flight gland, they call it, is kind of switched on. And even in situations like going into a room with people you're uncomfortable about, your fight and flight's on. So you either not want to go there, or when you're there, you're pretty bit aggressive. So whenever you feel threatened, or somebody puts you down or hurts your feelings, or whatever the combination of issues you have, when that situation emerges in your life, it could be going in a shop to buy a Mars bar. And as you're in the queue, you're worrying about being late and this, that, and the other. And by the time you get to the counter, and the person at the counter may look at you the wrong way or say the wrong thing, and then you just like, oh, totally overreact, totally go into fight or flight, having shout and scream at them, throw the Mars bar at them and walk out. Could be any area of your life where you could be overreacting, because what's informing you of what you're actually experiencing is already fear-based emotions that have been set in you. And it comes in all of them different forms and many more. So that's what we're trying to identify. That's why we're doing the infantry. That's why we're doing the nighttime infantry, the daytime infantry. We're trying to look at them places where you're reacting like that. And then we want to capture that reaction and then bring it back to this model and say, man, I was really overreacting. I felt anxiety. I felt fear. And again, some people are feeling that all the time. And it's good to actually stop and say, right, let's, we need to get back to the source of this. We need to, you know, because again, if you're being informed by that fear, you can kind of see why the third step talks about made a decision to turn our will, our thinking, and our lives, our actions over to the care of God. And again, we'll get a little bit more into that as we go along. So it says, it sets in motion, trains a circumstance which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. But did we not ourselves set the ball rolling? Sometimes we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. We review our fears thoroughly. So really, if you're listening to this, that you should really, and you've been around recovery for a little while and done a step 4 and 5, you should be acutely aware of all of your fears. You should be conscious of them, and you should know what you should be doing about them, how you make the amends. It says, we put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. These are instructions. We ask ourselves, why would we add them? Wasn't it because self-reliance had failed us? Self-reliance was as good as far as it got, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us had once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other when it made us cocky or worse. So, you know, like willpower or just trying to resist being afraid, you know, for me, I kind of like been very willful, and probably I've used that method most of my life of trying to just kind of will it away. And then I'd become a little bit aggressive. I'd become intimidating or just defiant. And I just, you know, I just wouldn't let people, or the feeling that I have, but I wouldn't let them try and overcome me. Because like we were talking yesterday, that fear is also a way of controlling. And again, all bullies know that. All governments know that. All, you know, that's the reason why terrorists are trying to blow us up. You know, the reason they dropped the atomic bomb on Japan, you know, they knew that blowing all of them people up that they blew up, that wasn't going to stop the war. What the reason for dropping the bomb was to install fear in the Japanese to make them decide to stop fighting. So really, the bomb was designed to create fear. Weapons are designed to create fear. Bullying and control is designed to create fear. And when the fear's created and been accepted, then the person's easily controlled. So that's a good reason not to have it. So knowing that, it could make me quite aggressive when I feel people are trying to install fear in me. And you know what? That's another argument, whether that's right or wrong. But when they're doing it because they're ignorant or they're frightened themselves, then that's a kind of different matter than people that are actually trying to bully me or bully you or install fear in you. Then that's taken away my freedom, and that's a God-given right, and I don't like that to be taken away. And you know, we all kind of know that in our society that they use fear to take away our rights, and especially in times like we're in now, where you know you're just being constantly pumped. You know, we're all sitting at home because we're all afraid. And I'm not saying that's completely wrong, but it's not completely right either. And, you know, I don't mind watching the news every now and then, but from my mind, it pumps a lot of fear out, and it's not balanced. I think they should be made by law to balance it up. So if you're going to tell me that two women are killed every week by their husbands or partners, you should be telling me that 35 million women aren't being killed every week. You know, just balancing it up a little bit. Otherwise, if I just take that first figure in and then allow that to form me, and then I allow that to inform me, then I end up with a very bad perception of the world. Now, of course, it's not good that two women are being killed every week, and that should stop. But we need to balance the information up. And I need to balance the information up. Just being fearful is out of balance. And it makes me out of balance, and that starts to make me become a bit mentally unstable. And so I can't afford to let too much fear exist. Where are we? Perhaps there is a better way. So that's kind of what we're looking for. So hopefully, you know, all that we said was saying there, the reason we're saying that was to just say, look, I just want you to be able to identify if you've got fear in you. And if you have got fear in you, there is a better way. But remember, it's been formed in you. And so you become accustomed to it. You've even got the pathways for it. And you're really good at meditating on it. Now, I'll come up with a new little slogan. I think it was me, but you know, I never know. Because I kind of learned spiritually. I thought this was really good that they said, wherever your mind goes, your energy flows. But I think I come up with this this morning, but it might not have. But what I come up with this morning was this: where your mind goes or your thinking goes, your emotions grow. Wherever your thinking goes, wherever your mind goes, your emotions grow. So if you're thinking on fear, then your emotions are going to grow in fear. So if you're feeling depressed today, it's because you're thinking depressed. Now, you can't feel what you don't think. So if you're feeling angry today, it's because you're thinking angry. Wherever your thinking goes, your emotions are going to grow. So we have to change our mind. But the good news is, even though you've really built a good, your network has been formed to deliver fear, what we're going to do is we're going to take that back. We're going to take that pathway back that says, you know what, we're going to start sending something different down it. You don't necessarily have to reform your neural network. You just have to start sending some different information down it. And that's why the battlefield of this is always in your mind. See, it's not in the drinking, it's not in the drugs. That's all the symptoms. If we can get your mind back, if we can capture your mind and get it stayed on things that are more wholesome and healthy, then it's impossible to be afraid. You know, I had it with a guy who phoned me up. He's been phoning me up. He's been relapsing. And he likes to go fishing. But the fishing club that he goes down, he's fallen out with some people. And he phoned me up. And for about an hour, he's just ranting about them and blah, blah, blah. And I was getting to the point where he's like, "Mate, I don't want to talk to you no more. You're making me feel ill. You're not willing to let go of it. I don't want to talk to you if you don't want to let go of it. I listen to your problems, but man, you need to be letting go of it." And eventually he started to open up his mind and let go. And he said, "I just like going down there. It helps me to calm down." But he ain't got no program. Again, he's one of them people, been in the fellowship for almost 20 years, keeps relapsing. And then I'm like, "You need to do your own awakening." But anyway, he calms down, takes on some of what we've been telling him, changes his mind. Told him about making amends. And then, so then he went back down to the lake yesterday. And then he phoned me up and said, "Mate, it was great down there. I went and spoke to the gamekeeper. I went and spoke to some of the other guys. And I went looking for the guy I got resentment at. I couldn't find him, but I wanted to apologize to him." And he said, "And I really had a nice day." And he's like, "Well, what changed then?" None of them other people changed. It was just your mind. So what's informing you, what's forming you, and what's informing you is going to decide your perception of reality. And so really making this about anything else other than what's going on in your mind is a delusion. It's deceiving you. So we're trying to just capture that thoughts that are going on in your head to find out what's informed you, what's informing you, because we need to reform you. We need to transform you into something better. So it's saying perhaps that we have a better way. We think so, for we are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. So that's what this is offering you. This is saying, look, if you can start getting some of these God thoughts in your head, now ain't just going around thinking about God. I'm just going to read some of this stuff that I've got. Again, because I know a lot of people are misinformed about what's got in the Bible and what the Bible's all about. And if you're anti-Christ, I'm sorry, you're not going to enjoy what I'm just about to say. Now, I'm not trying to say this to preach to everybody, but I'm saying this because this is what I learned. Because when this is talking about God, and down the bottom of this, it says, we ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention. So an important part of this is, how do we redirect your attention? Now, look, you might want to go and find other ways, but when it comes to the God thing, which is this is talking about, it's saying we start trusting infinite God rather than our finite self. But if you've not been formed informed what that means, which probably takes quite a bit of information, I've found that when people go, well, you need to trust in God, I mean, what the fuck does that mean? I don't know what that means. I've never been informed or formed by what that means. It took me a long time to learn that. I had to get, when people said that, I had to get past like a hell of a lot of prejudices before I could get to that information. I don't even know why I had them prejudices. They were seemed to be also formed in me, but I don't know how they got formed in me. I don't know where they come from. I didn't, you know, I was ignorant. I spent most of my life being completely ignorant. I've not been educated, especially back then. I don't know where them views come from that I had. They were in me. They seemed very strong. I was almost ready to die for them. But I don't know where they come from. They weren't my views. I never sat down and studied and read and, you know, had a good look at what I believe. I did that eventually, and now I've come to certain conclusions that I'm happy with and I stand by. This is what I believe. This is why I believe it. But it's taken a lot of information before I get to getting myself better informed and then forming my own views. And then I see the world through that information by the way that I've allowed my mind to be transformed. So the world's looks a very different image to me than it did before. I see the world in a very different way. I see myself in a very different way. And I see other people in a very different way. And I see God in a different way. But he says we trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. And again, we talked about that. The difference between infinite and finite is finite means there's an end to it. It's very limited. So if we're trusting in a very limited mindset, then we're probably not going to be very well informed. But it says when we trust in infinite, and the word trust, the acronym for trust, just to let you know, is try using step three. Try using step three. That's the acronym for trust. We trust in infinite God. So we kick the doors off of the limited information that we have. We allow our minds to open and we gather more information, and hopefully we start to trust in that information. And as we start becoming informed and making better decisions, we start having a better life experience. He said we're in the world to play the role here, signs. Now again, that throws up all kinds of stuff for people that don't have a faith. And again, it kind of makes me almost want to do an extra bit of a study on this book with people that have been around a while and go, man, I don't know about that. It all says at the beginning you can believe what you want and believe in this, believe in that, but it kind of don't kind of go on like that when you read it. But again, I'm not really a scholar on that sort of stuff. But it, you know, and again, I'm happy with it, but I understand other people struggle with that. But you know, this works perfect for me, but people that may not want to believe in God, it may be a bit more difficult for them to get around it. So if you're listening to that and that's you, then sorry about that. I'm just going along with this. But you know, you can be included. You know, I guess the way I was taught it is that, you know, you have to interpret it. Whatever, when we say the word God, you have to interpret it into what suits you. So forgive me for using this language, and hopefully you can just interpret into what works for you. It says we are in the world to play the role here, signs. Just to the extent that we do that, that we think he enables us. He would have us and humbly rely on him, does he enable us to match calamity with serenity? We see, again, I think the important part of this, especially when you're beginning, is that you are going to be badly informed and you're going to be badly formed. And the evidence of that badly formed, even to your mother's womb, especially when it's emotionally, is that you're going to have a lot of anxiety, you're going to have a lot of fear, you're going to have a lot of resentment, you're going to have hate, you're going to, and that means that you've been badly formed. Sounds bad, doesn't it? But it is bad when you think about it. That even from our mother's womb, some of us have been so badly formed that we've so become so badly informed, and that we see the world from that twisted formation. And so that it's almost like that weapon of fear has been formed against us. And it is kind of prospering in our life. That fear is actually doing what that fear wants to do, which is bring destruction to my life. And my life has been evidence of that in the beginning of it, until I learn to be transformed, till I learn to be reformed. And again, they even use them words in jail, don't they? Reform. You know, you're going to go and be reformed. And it's true. There's a lot of truth to that. And so this is saying, if you have the courage to let this spiritual way of being, this idea of God, if you start taking on these ideas, it's a way that you can be transformed. It's a way that you can be reformed. And if you spend time around with people that have been through this process, then they can help you reform, and then you can start to become better informed, make better decisions. And the evidence of that is the outcomes that you're starting to get in your life. So, and again, I'd like to go on about that, but I'm getting, I see the time there, and I want to get to the end of this. And then the more that we do that, it allows us to match calamity with serenity. So it says, we never apologize to anyone for depending on our creator. And again, that seems a funny thing to put in there, but I still have that in me. Even now, there's a bit of me that feels a little bit embarrassed that I may be hurting some people because I'm talking about God. I just want to share some of the things that it says in the Bible, because I want to just use it as a demonstration. To say, you know, that when we're talking about this, what this idea of God, it says we let him demonstrate through us what he can do. Because it's saying the solution here is, one is we ask him to remove our fear. So that's an important part of this changing what we're meditating on. That it's part of this changing what's forming us. I want to be reformed. I want my mind to be reformed. I want it to be taken away from fear, and I want it to be put over onto faith. But it's not something that's just going to happen. It's something that I'm going to have to work for. Because it didn't just happen in the first place. Because as you probably all agree, children aren't born with all of these fears unless it's in the mother to begin with and in the environment. But let's just say, most of us aren't born with, I can't be born with a fear of dogs, because until I see a dog, it can't happen. So we can say that most of us haven't been born this way. We're not designed this way. We are designed to feel fear, but only when a lion jumps out on us or somebody's attacking us and stuff like that. I'm not meant to feel that when I go in a shop to buy a Mars bar, or go and tell some girl that I find them attractive, or, you know, go in a crowd of people, or go for a job interview. I'm not meant to feel overwhelming fear in all of them situations, that I need to take painkiller to dumb myself down and able to live like that. It's not, God didn't make us that way. We've been formed that way by the world and by our twisted perception of it. So it says we ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention. Now, see, the prayer is to remove my fear. the meditation that we're talking about, the contemplative meditation, again, that goes through this whole book, is we're trying to direct our thinking or trying to redirect it. You know, like it says in there that he's the director. You know, when we get this relationship right, we're trying to redirect our thinking. We're trying to get a new director. I'm trying to get a new direction. I want to travel in a new direction through this universe. I want a different reality. I want to choose different realities for myself. So I need to regain control of my mind, and I need to start to reform it. I need to take responsibility for it, and I need to start redeveloping it. And it isn't going to happen unless I work on it. And that's why it's so important. Like we're saying at the end of this, we're going to give you a worksheet that hopefully together and with each other, we can help each other reform, transform, renew our minds so we can direct it in a better place where we want to go, into better realities for ourselves. So it says, ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. So I guess it's when that's talking about what he'd have us be, that's talking about what does God want me to be? What does he want me to be? Some religious person? What does he want me to be? So that's why I thought I'd go have a look at some of these Bible verses. And it says, what God wants me to be, he says, he strengthens me and he will help me. He will uphold me with his righteous hand. It says, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in him. He tells me, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart. Now, your heart isn't the fleshy thing in your chest. It means the center of your being. It's more like your gut level feeling. Your heart is where you begin. It's where you actually begin. It's where your consciousness begins. But on top of that consciousness, on top of your conscience, is all kinds of shit. All kinds of fear, all kinds of guilt. We've got to clear all that so you get back to your own conscience. That you can follow your own conscience. It says, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and the minds in Christ. It said, peace is what I leave with you. So I should have peace. God said, I should have peace in my mind. Man, I love peace. Honestly, it's one of my favorite things in this world. It's just feeling peaceful. When I'm sitting in my garden just feeling peaceful, I don't want for anything. Such a nice place to be. I never had that most of my life, not without drugs anyway, that I give you. I do not give it as the world does. So there's a very different kind of peace than what God's talking about and what this world's talking about. He says, do not be worried and upset. So God's saying, don't be worried. Do not be afraid. He's telling me, don't be afraid. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. So again, it wasn't born into us, but of power and of love. I should be feeling love, and I should, he said, and of a sound mind. So I should have a sound mind. Now, a sound mind wouldn't be spending all its time worrying, being full of fear and anxiety. A sound mind wouldn't do that. A sick mind's going to do that. And if you keep doing that, you're going to get sicker and sicker. You're going to get more mental health problems the more you hold yourself in that much anxiety. You're going to have more physical problems the more you're stressed. So it says there is no fear in love. There's no fear in God. That fear isn't in God. It's in the world, which is true. That's what I'm afraid of. And that makes me afraid of myself. It makes me hate myself. It makes me uncomfortable in myself. But it said perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. This is what God's saying through the Bible. It says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my mind. But now this is what the Lord says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. God says, an anxious heart weighs a man down. but a kind word cheers him up. That's in Proverbs. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which is life, he said, I will fear no evil, God, because you're with me and you comfort me. He said, God said, I have commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And so you get the kind of the point there, that this idea of God is going to help you redirect your thinking away from fear into a lot more powerful belief system. And that's what's going to need to change in you, is your belief system. You've got to be transformed. You've got to be reformed. Your mind has to be changed. Now, again, how you choose to do that, that's going to be up to you. And that's been my journey. So I'm going to leave it there, but hopefully you get the point. And like I say, before you go, Fox is going to tell you he can download some worksheets.
Lovely. Just for those listening on YouTube, check the description for the link to the worksheet we've just talked about.
Yeah, we're just trying to keep everything as simple as we can. But so that's the worksheet that we knocked up. Again, we try and keep it as close to the AA big book as we possibly can, because we don't want to rewrite the program, because it is a wonderful, simple program. I just think it's quite misunderstood. But maybe tonight some of you guys can make a list of your fears, which again is in line with your fourth step, is make your fears list. And then you can make some notes about how you can see how that fear is affecting your life, and what manifestations it's causing in your life. And then you can have a look at writing down what you believe some of the solutions. See, because some of them are just going to be pretty much sort of praying, but some of it, there's things you're going to have to do. And remember, the goal here is we want to outgrow fear. It says, at once we commence to outgrow fear. So it's not something that's just going to disappear overnight, but it's never going to disappear if we don't start working on it. You're going to be suffering from the same fear all your life if you don't capture it and start to learn, how do I outgrow it? Now, of course, some things are going to take a bit more work than others. Some things may take a lot of actions. Some things may just be prayers, or maybe just change of philosophy. But whatever they are, you don't have to live with them. You can outgrow them. So, and that should become your program. That should become your spiritual program, that you should grab all of that stuff, because it's not God. It's not what God wants from you. I think it can demonstrate that for all spiritual scripture and teaching, no matter what religion or faith, it's going to tell you, look, you shouldn't be fearing anything. If you should be fearing anything, you should be fearing God. And he don't want you fearing him in a scared way. He just wants you to have a respect for him.
Thank you, Fox. Thank you, Lester. At the beginning, you sort of gave all the other words that come with fear, one of them being concern. So when I was in treatment, I was taught that love is concern for another despite the differences. My main fears and anxieties and everything are always related to my family. So does that kind of mean in a way that if that is what the definition of love is, concern for another despite the differences, if concern's a form of fear, love in any form is going to kind of instill you with elements of fear and anxiety?
Well, yeah, I think even sort of caring, I think it's trying to keep realizing that it's when it goes beyond its intended purpose. So I think that, you know, actually having anxiety for somebody else, you know, again, it's like you could say that if somebody goes to war, isn't it, at the moment, we got you know, people get sick, it's going to bring up fear in you. But again, that's against my faith. It's actually saying, because it starts causing an attraction. You know, this is where it does get a little bit complicated, and I'm trying not to be too super spiritual. But again, if you're a very fearful person, you're going to attract a lot of fear into your life. So again, for my belief is like, I shouldn't allow fear. I should keep faith. If somebody's ill, then I should actually try and resist the fear and keep pronouncing faith and wellness and hold that position, because it drives out darkness. It drives out kind of all kinds of sickness. So, you know, when you actually have faith, then really you should fear not. I shouldn't allow fear. So when concern, you say, is a fear, I think we may have to come up with a little better word for that. I don't think it means to be of that kind of anxiety. I don't think that's probably the correct emotion, but I'm sort of struggling to think of a better word, because I can see what you're saying, but I don't really think that it means having fear. I think having concern means, you know, showing some interest, showing some care, showing some you know, like interest in their life, some to not being sort of selfish. I don't think it means fear.
Okay.
I don't think concern means fear. I think it means just show interest, show some care. Don't think it's fear.
Thank you.
It took me a little bit of time to get there. Again, some of this stuff, that's what I'm saying with fear, you kind of have to break it down, but because again, it hides.
Yeah. Well, I looked concern up, and it does all come up with like just basically anxiety and panic and everything. But
yeah. Well, that wouldn't say that in my Bible. It would say that remember, the world is full of a lot of disinformation, because the world's trying to form fear in us. And so if I was writing a dictionary with concern, I'd put concern means to show interest or care for another.
Okay. But thank you.
Who am I to argue with the Oxford Dictionary? But well, I'm less to more. That's who I bloody well am.
I found things really changed for me when I got a good sponsor that was able to help me identify the fears and get to that. It talks about our evil and corrosive thread, and our lives were shot through with it, and set in motion trains of stuff, trains of misfortune, essentially. So a lot of my calls to my sponsor would be, I'm frightened, I can't really put my finger on it. And he was able to help me identify that, and then I could take the action. And the other thing that I thought was very useful in what was talked about was that self-censorship, where Lester talked about not, you know, not ignoring the news, but not sort of just being immersed in it. And another good friend of mine in the fellowship, bless him, he said, he told me that my eyes and my ears are the windows to my soul and mind, and what I listen to and what I watch and all those things affect me. And they are the windows. So I had to shut the windows on some of the crappy stuff. I stopped, you know, joining in the debate of everything that was going on, Question Time and watching all the news and getting into arguments. I haven't bought a newspaper for 8 years. That made a big difference. So a bit of self-censorship and reducing what we expose ourselves to can make a big difference.